Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Orris.
Hey, good Saturday afternoon, everyone. Rich Orris here, and thank you for joining us today. And welcome to Ride at Home with Rich. Today is Room Edition Day. I am so excited about this. We can cover the benefits of expanding your home. Why are room additions booming right now during the pandemic? And always the question everyone wants to know, should I move or should I add on? Should I remodel? What should I do to my home? And of course, that brings up the conversation of, you know, what's the true cost of moving? I think everyone needs to know that in order to make that decision. Then maybe we can always get into some code considerations and all of that when adding to your home. My hack today will be very interesting for the DIYers out there. You're not going to want to miss how to do a drywall patch without any joint tape. So that'll be good for you today. And here to join me today, I really love this part too. My producer and right-hand man, Todd Bachman, is here with me today. So he'll be jumping in on the conversation with us. So, hey, thanks for joining today, Todd. And how's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for having me, Rich.
Awesome. Awesome. So, you know, talking about room additions, and one of the biggest thing that comes up is going to be exactly what you're probably doing right now in your life. When we talk about the benefits of a room addition, expanding your home, making it bigger, gaining space, of course, the first thing we always hear is my family's growing, right? I mean, you need more space, you're adding on, you're at that age, you've got young children and everything. So how's your home with that and everything?
You can always use more space when you got three kids. There's no doubt about that. I'm going to add up, out, anywhere I can if I can do it.
Yeah, exactly. And so looking at, you know, adding additional space, increasing that indoor living space, you know, is obviously the main reasons homeowners do that. But, you know, some of the other reasons and some of the other benefits, you know, that we could get into is, of course, increased value. It is going to, you know, add to the home's value. I see it a lot, you know, when we're doing this stuff with construction loans. Construction loans really only tend to work out well when you are adding to the home. You know, getting that extra square footage is where insurance and loans and appraisals and that really see a lot of that increased value. Of course, when you just remodel your kitchen, they don't see as much value because you had a kitchen. You know, it was already there. So you try and do like a construction loan for something like that. It does get tough, but new construction, new house, or adding onto the house works out really well in those scenarios. And like you'd kind of mentioned, adding, where do you add? Up, out, in? Well, adding up can actually make it a little bit more affordable. You know, foundation's already there, things like that. So it can, you know, there can be other added complexities to adding up, but in general, nothing too crazy. You know, it can really help and work out to add up and you know, forego that foundation because you already own one. And it's great when you can use things that you already own when you're trying to improve, you know, what you're doing. So, of course, the extra family members, you know, more kids, kids returning, coming back again. So, you know, I'm a little bit ahead of you. So my son's graduated college, still in the house, still needs the space. So, you know, my daughter, I'm quite certain might turn out to be a little bit of the same for a while. So we're just not quite to that downsizing thing. But, you know, the next step I see is possibly parents moving in. So kids move out, parents move in. There's so many reasons to need, you know, an expansion, more space. What do you need to get in different, you know, stages of everyone's life? You know, it really, there's a lot of different reasons. So I did meet with a client one time a few years ago that had some extra space, and years back it had an addition with a couple bedrooms put on. And once the children were out, she's in Creve Coeur, not far from Maryville College, where my son went. And so she rents the bedrooms to college students.
Oh, that's smart.
Cheaper than a dorm, get some income from it. So there's, you know, thinking about something like that with what you're not using anymore, or just reasons, you know, to add on is, you know, rent income, something like that. You can consider all of that. A lot of times we see it's about sunlight, that sunroom. You get into older homes, 50s homes, the windows aren't really, you know, they're very inefficient. They're not great. There's not a lot of them a lot of times. So a lot of people want to add that on and really just create this sunroom that will bring so much more natural light, you know, into the home. And, you know, that's a good reason to add on to the back of the house, too, is create that indoor but outdoor space. But it gives you so much, you know, natural light inside of the home there. So, but, you know, talking about these different phases, you know, there is some really interesting facts out there, too, that I've looked at. So your place right now, mm-hmm. Kids are young.
Yeah.
Looking at later everything that happens, eventually you get to that spot where they move out. But, you know, that is changing drastically on how long, you know, people stay in the home and how long kids stay in the home and when parents move in. And there's a lot more family shared households these days. And, you know, I was looking up some of the kind of statistics on that when. So in 1995, about 28% of adults lived in some sort of shared household, whether their adult children were still there or their parents were back or their kids moved out and came back and all of that. This has been climbing. It kind of went down for a little bit around 2004, around the foreclosure crisis and all that stuff happening. It dropped about 1%. But after that, in coming up into like 2017, it was at about 32% of the adult population. Wow. Is now. So, you know, there's this whole thing about the different generations. So, you know, the Generation X now versus like the Silent Generation from before. And going into like millennials now, it's really growing with millennials as far as how many of them are staying into that, you know, home for a longer period of time. And you know what? It's like our situation. We're telling our son to do this. We're like, right. Why would you go rent? You know, when, you know, there's some college debt, there's some things. You're starting off really good. Why would you spend that on rent right away? You know, if you stayed here 2, 3, 4, as long as you can stand it and get some of that paid down and have a savings plan? I mean, doesn't that make just like a whole ton of sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Why burn money?
Yeah.
Right? You're just burning money. It's not going anyplace into any sort of investment. And just save some money, you know, pay it off. I think it's a great idea, especially my generation and generations younger than me going to college. The housing prices are so expensive, we can't afford to buy our own house. So it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah. And so now you also have, you know, clients doing this stuff to stay in their homes longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a client right now, has been diagnosed with Parkinson's, and we have been for a couple, two or three years now doing different things to further him along, to keep him in his home longer. I've literally had people do a full-on, you know, simple but kind of master suite addition. Get a bedroom and a bathroom and a laundry area right on the first floor. Keep them living there. You'd be surprised at the number of years that it takes to recoup that versus assisted living or something like that. It's not very long.
Oh, yeah.
This particular one I did years ago, they were saying like 2.5 to 3 years there to break even point.
I believe it. Assisted living, all those places are so expensive.
Yeah.
So if you can swing it, it's not a bad idea to add on.
Absolutely. So my client with Parkinson's, we actually made this really big, cool kitchen island that has three different levels.
Wow.
Preparing for, you know, a wheelchair level, a mid-level, and then a higher seating off the back, that sort of. So we've got three different levels around so he can plan out how this island, we thought of that in advance. How is this going to work for you for the years to come, and where might you end up? You know, and so thinking of these things is very, very crucial, you know, in planning all of this stuff. So really, you know, what I'd advise everybody is think about it, plan for it, you know, do that and get what you want, do what you want. If you need more space, if you can, you know, get what you want in it, make where you're at right for you and where you can last. I think that's great. And so that whole scenario kind of brings me into an interesting On the Road with Rich here segment I want to get into. That's, you know, visiting a client a couple weeks ago that wanted a room addition, and they wanted it for the parents to be able to move into their home. And they want to give them a nice space off the basement, walkout basement, a lot of sunlight, you know, and all that. And there's a bathroom right off of it already. And so they have us out. Now, the great thing is the parents, we've actually remodeled their basement completely in the past. We put an elevator in their home.
Yeah.
So we made their home where they could stay for even longer and everything. Now, this is the daughter. They did add a one-story little elevator that gets them from the first floor to the basement. Perfect for the parents to be able to get from one floor to the other and everything. And now they're like looking into this room addition and everything. But here's where the planning kind of fell behind and everything. And of course, now with how busy everyone is and, you know, being such a well sought out company and having, you know, a big backlog during this pandemic and everything. So unfortunately, the mother fell waiting for the elevator at the daughter's house, hit her head, had to go to the ER, all this stuff. Now it's urgent.
Right.
Now they're like, wow, how fast can we get this? Oh, you know, not so fast. Like, wow. So, you know, we talk about this on the radio all the time about home maintenance, plan for it. You know, I had a caller the other day called in and said, you know, my water heater's got a slow leak. One guy's saying I should really just go ahead and replace it, you know, and it's like, yeah, preventive maintenance. Think about it, prepare for it, plan for it. Yes, go ahead and do that, because if you don't, it's going to break down on Thanksgiving, and you're going to wish, you know, right, you had hot water or whatever. So we do this, but you know, I encourage people to do this for the remodeling and their additions and all these things, to think about this stuff in advance. Think about how this could possibly happen and start these plans and get these plans going earlier, because honestly, this could be you. Mm-hmm. This could be us. This, you know, don't wait for something like that to happen to go, wow, I need this now. You know, it's why we look at adding backing for grab bars and showers years in advance as we're remodeling a bathroom, so that it's there, it's ready to go. You need a grab bar in a pinch, we can do that. We can get it in, you know, all of that. So definitely, you know, think about these scenarios and how they can affect you long in advance and what you might need to do so that you're not up in a pinch up against all this when you want to add, when you want to remodel or get through any of this. And of course, I'll remind everybody that here at Mosby, we do all of this. We design it, we build it, we can help you through the whole process. It's a great thing. You know, check us out on our website at callmosby.com. Or simply call our office, 314-909-1800, or walk into our new studio dead in the heart of Kirkwood and check us out and just have a conversation and see, you know, what you think, and, you know, do this preventive maintenance on everything that you're going to do. It's just a great idea. So we're going to get into our first break here, and we'll have my hack as soon as we return.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, here's Rich's Right at Home Hack.
All right, guys, we are back. You heard the man, Rich's Right at Home Hack. And you know what? This one's a little bit complicated, so you're really going to want to pay attention and follow along. I'm going to try and lead you through a trick I learned long ago about how to repair a small hole in drywall without using any joint tape. So what you're going to want to do is you cut your hole in the wall to a square. Let's just say it's 4 inches by 4 inches. So you cut your piece of drywall that you're going to patch it with 2 inches bigger. So you're going to go 6 inches by 6 inches. So when you have that square, you want to flip it over and you're going to score the back of that 1 inch in, kind of mark out your 4 inch by 4 inch square and score the back, not all the way through. You don't want to cut the face paper on the front. And then you just carefully break that rock at the cuts by bending it with your hands. So the paper on the front will just bend and stay attached on that 4 inch center square. Do this at all four edges. Peel off the rock from the front paper, basically leaving a 1 inch perimeter of paper around that entire 4 inch square. Then you can apply your joint compound around the hole, install the patch inside that hole, spread the paper out, smooth it out with your putty knife, get it nice and tight, let it dry. Once it dries, you can apply your final coats right over it. The drywall paper actually acts as the joint paper tape to hold everything in place, and voila, sand it down, you're ready for painting, all gone. There you go. So if you want to hear this hack or any of my hacks every week, check them all out on Facebook. You can search Rich Orris Mosby, and it'll get you right to my page on Facebook. All right, so we're going to get back here into a regular 91 show and, you know, talking about room additions, adding on, you know, what are the reasons? What are some benefits? You know, what does it all take and everything? And I wanted to touch on basically a little bit of the industry and the pandemic right now and why remodeling and room additions are booming, you know, so bad right now in our industry, causing labor shortages and backlogs and all these things happening to us. So Todd, have you looked into doing anything around your house or tried to do anything like that with the pandemic?
Yeah, we've certainly thought about it. We have a big sunroom off the back of our house. It's actually just a screened-in porch, and we've considered, you know, what if we were to convert this to a sunroom, get that added space? But we haven't pulled the trigger on anything yet, but we've certainly had it in the back of our minds, definitely.
Yeah.
When you're in a house with three kids for, you know, 2 months quarantining,
yep.
You start thinking about anything that'll help you out.
And that's a lot of, you know, the reasons out there, but some of the tracking of it, which is really kind of cool, is, you know, because when people think about this stuff, what happens? They jump on the internet.
Yep.
There's our main tracking thing. So Howes Online did a little, you know, research and study on what people are searching, you know, and how much these searches are going up. And a lot of these things are up 58% from before the pandemic. The biggest one, so home extensions and additions, they've seen a 52% increase in looking at that, researching that, you know, seeing photos of additions and stuff. The craziest one out there is fences and repairs.
Really?
Fences, 166%. I can't imagine what it's going to take to get a fence right now.
Oh, my gosh. A wood fence is, you're going to be waiting a couple of years probably.
And, you know, another really big one is pools. That's anything outside, mm-hmm. pools, spas. You know, all that stuff, those searches are up, you know, 54%. And I know there's huge backlogs of people trying to get pools put in. Again, you're around your house. You've got, you know, people are working from home more. People are, you know, I was just, well, yesterday when it was so nice out, me and my son took a walk and we were talking about just that. Like, you know, he works from home. His job, he graduated in the pandemic. He's never had an office to go to. He's went into their office for some training and some different things. I could probably count them on one hand.
Yeah.
And in a year and a half. So, yeah, it's like we were talking about where do you do things, you know. So, you know, for me, I have a home office. I have my bedroom, I have the living room with the TV, I have a little area where I can do my puzzles and stuff near mm-hmm. my hearth room. I got like four different areas that I can be in to kind of designate what am I doing where. And we're like, wow, yeah, he's got his bedroom and the bed's in there, his recliner chair's in there, his desk is in there. And so I'm like, yeah, you're in there a lot, you know, so all of this work of finding these multi-use spaces and, you know, designating spaces for, you know, where you need to be to do what, it is amazing what it does for you mentally, you know, kind of like when we were talking about painting the one day and how paint colors affect your emotions and everything.
Right.
Well, having these designated spaces can be the same. So we have seen just a huge increase in, you know, remodeling, in room additions, and I need an office, I need this, I need my play space, kids are at home more, studying from home, that, you know, so there's, it's like we need more spaces in order to have, you know, all of this good and taken care of and all of that. So it is quite amazing, you know, how the pandemic has altered what we do in our homes. You know, we're always like the kitchen's the heart of the home. Well, it really is now.
Yeah.
you know, because most, so many people do absolutely everything there. And so looking at, you know, kind of some of this next topic, you know, should I remodel my home? Should I add on to my home or should I move? How do I look at this? How do I decide this? Well, the pandemic has changed this drastically also. It's quite amazing because of the cost, because of the stock, because of, you know, not enough houses for sale, you know, all this stuff. So I again, I kind of looked up some of these facts and I was like, okay, you know, so the National Association of Realtors, you know, has all these studies where they do about the inventory and the housing and how many sell and all this stuff. And, you know, in 2017, how many houses were for sale was at the lowest level on record, that there was actually only inventory available for about 2.5 months. So basically what that means is if no one else put a house on the market and they sold every house in 2.5 months, there'd be no more houses for sale. They'd all have sold off. In 2018, when things started getting better, it went back up to a 4-month supply.
Okay.
So they would run out in 4 months. Okay. I talked to a realtor the other day who said in St. Louis County, if no one else put their house on the market and they sold off the stock, it would be less than 30 days.
That's crazy.
27 days or something like that. All the houses are gone.
That is crazy.
So if you're considering any of this, you know, your stock is just isn't there. Where are you shopping and what are you shopping for? So you're home, you feel cramped, you need more space. You've got all this going on with the pandemic. You need to work there now. You know, you need 4 spaces like I do. I love my 4 spaces.
Yeah.
You know, I commonly walk to the other space just to change my state of mind, you know, as I'm working from home or doing whatever and all this stuff. So there's a lot there. In, you know, what are you going to find that has really defined how, you know, how much remodeling and room additions and things like that are getting built and all of that during this pandemic. So, you know, and other things you really want to think about aside from that when deciding, you know, so you're looking at this, all right, I want to compare moving to staying and building an addition or making my house better. There's 2 or 3 questions to really pay attention to. One of them I always kind of start with is, are you in a committed relationship? So we always talk about this, and I'm not talking about like your spouse or, you know, whatever. I'm talking about where you are, you know, location, schools, traffic. How's the traffic near your street? Are you on a busy street? How's safety? How's crime? Are you committed to where you're at? Do you absolutely love it? You know, what are you looking for in getting out of that? Because I see it very often where, yep, they love everything about where they are, but the house just doesn't do what they need. And there's not a house directly in the area that does what they need. Mm-hmm. Now, if your answer is yes, let's get at it. Design it, figure it out. Let's get what you need. You're going to absolutely love it. If the answer is no, you might want to consider looking around and studying the area a little more, you know, of where you're going. Another question is, do you have a spare $12,000 cash just lying around ready for a move? Because that is the average cost of moving a 3-bedroom house professionally. Is $12,000. So there is something there that there's a lot of expense I want to get into a little bit later in the show of what's that list and what does it truly cost someone to move? Because I think that's a big thing to think about. But it's definitely something to think about in this early on part of, you know, what you're doing and where you're going and how you're going to do it. So that's a big question in that expense of what am I spending my money on when I go to do that? So think of all these different things in how you're preparing and prepping, like we were talking earlier, is plan for these things and, you know, make arrangements. What I commonly see the most when I meet with all these clients and we're talking about the difference in, you know, should they add on, should they remodel, should they move? 9 out of 10 times, people kind of go, yeah, that's a lot of money to add on. That's a lot of money to do all that. We're going to look into this and we'll get back with you and see what happens. And so many of those clients actually come back to me because they've looked at it and they say, okay, I've got a $400,000 house. We'll make math easy. This is going to cost me $200,000 to do what I want to. And so now I'm shopping for a $600,000 house. So what happens is they find a $600,000 house. It's not where they want to be. It doesn't have everything that they want. And next thing you know, they're looking at staying in that house and doing that remodeling because of that. So let's get into our break here, and we'll get more into some of these figures when we return.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Horris.
All right, guys, we are back. Final segment of the show here. So much information with this. I wish we could get it all out, you know, with room additions, with adding on to your home, with, you know, thinking about moving versus adding on to your home, all of that. So, Todd, how have you guys considered moving versus remodeling?
Not recently. And with the housing prices, that's another thing too. Housing prices are so expensive that I don't know if we would ever consider that in the near future, just because you sell your house and you have to go turn around and pay for something that's even more expensive than it was a few years ago. So I think right now we're going to stay put, but eventually, you know, we may look.
Yeah. So kind of, you know, recapping on where I was going with earlier on, you know, people, they go out shopping, they look, they say, all right, my house is $400,000. I need $200,000 to remodel it. I'm shopping for a $600,000 house. Well, what they commonly find, like I was saying, it's not where they want. It's not in the area they want when they get it to be the right size, all of this. But I tell you what, 9 out of 10 of them say to me too is it needs remodeled.
Yeah.
I don't like the kitchen, you know? So now I'm got more of what I need for the same amount of money, but it's not necessarily what I want, or I'm going to need to remodel it down the road anyway. So if I don't need the addition, then how much is just the kitchen, or how much, you know, and they get, so it ends up to be all this added expense on top of it. And, you know, talking about the cost of, you know, the houses now, people overpaying by $20,000 to $50,000.
Yeah, astronomical.
Over even what they appraise for. Mm-hmm. People foregoing the inspections. Nope, I don't need an inspection. I'm so desperate to buy a house and they're selling so fast. Let's just not even look at that. And you could get into, we could go a whole show about what you could get into, you know, not having that inspection. But, you know, so timing, again, like I was saying earlier, planning, thinking things through. Timing, you know, our situation, my wife actually kind of said to me, we bought our house. It was a foreclosure. I did a lot of it myself, you know, and I fixed some things up and I did. And so we've got more house, less cost, all this. My wife said, you know, gosh, everything's selling for so much. Maybe we cash out.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, that'd be cool. Where are we going?
Right.
You know, we're going to need to rent 2 townhouses to house all of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so the house we sold for, you know, $182,000, we could probably buy that one back for like $330,000.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of like this, like you were saying, this double edged sword of, yeah, I can get more, but now I got to spend more.
Exactly.
You know, so looking at what I'd like to get into is the list of what it truly costs to move overall, you know, and I've learned a lot of this and I love it because not because I've moved 100 times, but because I've dealt with so many people moving, not moving. What should I do? You know, trying to assist them and help them through a process like this. So looking at the actual moving cost, what does it take? So you've got real estate commissions. All right. You've got, think about taxes and neighborhood fees. Like my last house, I didn't have a neighborhood fee. This house, I do. It cost me $500 a year, and I think they cut grass for that. Right. I'm not sure, but but so think about repairs to the home you're selling. Unfortunately, if you don't get an inspection, you might have to consider repairs of the house you're buying that maybe you don't even know about at this particular time. Just getting a new mortgage, title insurance costs, loan fees, I mean, just, you know, refinancing anything, it costs money to do that, you know. So you may not see that money, but it costs money to do that. You'll see that more at retirement than you will, you know, at that particular moment. Think about home warranties or home staging while selling.
Yeah.
You might want to purchase a home warranty, especially if you foregoed that whole inspection. You might want to consider that. And then, of course, now we'll talk about today's landscape like we just were, overpaying because of inventory and the way things are in our current times. Absolutely. Right now, you know, there's a big thing there. So let's do some math on this just to get some people up to speed. So $12,000 to move a 3-bedroom house. If you're, you know, this is kind of where that sweat equity can come in. If you're going to carry your own stuff to your new house, perfect. You can save $12,000 or so. Say you have a $500,000 house, 6% commission on that house is $30,000. If like me, $500 a year, not a lot of money, but if you're going to live in your house 10 years, it's $5,000 that you wouldn't have been paying in the other house. Existing home repairs, let's just say it costs you $3,000 to fix stuff in your house just so that you could sell it. New loan costs, easy $3,000, maybe more, I'm guessing here. And then now you got to buy a house in today's economy and today's time with the pandemic that, let's say you go to the max and you overpaid $50,000. And I am not fooling folks here. I have had people tell me that's what they overpaid.
Oh, yeah.
I've had clients say, it burns my insides that we had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They hate it. And it's like, but they did. So take out the warranty. You don't stage your house, sell it, anything like that. That's $103,000.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. If you move your own stuff, it's $91,000. You could do a lot with $91,000, you know.
You still have to move your own stuff and you spend $90,000. That sounds like a great deal, considering how horrible moving your own stuff is.
Yes. And that brings us into, I love that statement because, so how many times have you guys moved?
Just once.
Just once.
It makes you not want to ever do it again, to be honest with you. And that was before 3 kids. So I can only imagine what it would be like now.
Exactly. So when I was moving, it was 7 years ago or so, and I was actually meeting with one of my clients, and we were just chatting before a meeting, and I was talking about moving and the move and what was happening and what we're getting prepared for, and he said to me, he said, you know, I'm a clinical psychologist, and I said, really? I didn't, you know, I knew you were something, like, you know, and didn't know exactly, and he said, you know, he said, did you realize that moving is the third most stressful event you will ever have in your life, and it trails the death of a spouse and divorce?
That's interesting.
And I was like, okay, now I know why I feel this way.
Yeah.
Now I know why I feel exhausted. Now I know why I feel like, what's happening? So the funny thing with that is that's kind of half my thing. Even when my wife says, hey, maybe it's a good time to just cash out. And I'm like, yeah, we got to move all our stuff. And I haven't forgotten about that yet. I'm going to need probably 5 more good years.
Well, you got to think it's decision making by the hundreds, every little on a micro level of just the individual things. And then also, you know, rooms and that's just so many decisions, little decisions.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just unbelievable. It's a mental stress for sure. And you always have more stuff than you think you do.
Oh, absolutely.
You find stuff everywhere.
I tell you, so here's a quick one on what happened to me. So I'm at the new house. I'm meeting the charter guy and all these people. And my wife's at the old house, and the movers are loading everything up and doing this. And my wife calls me, and she's like, they can't get the ping pong table out of our basement. Well, I just didn't even think about it. You know, you fold the sides up. Right. It's kind of skinny. Well, it's tall. You know, it couldn't get it to turn from the door and all this and that. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I'm like, fine. Okay. Let me get things settled here. She sends her dad over to me. Mm-hmm. I go back to our old house. We kind of swap. And I get there, and I'm looking at the ping pong table in the back of the truck, and I'm like, why am I here? Well, he just said, we got it out. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So then I kind of took a look around, said, okay, perfect. You know, so then I go back to the new house. They bring everything in our new house. They put the ping pong table in the basement. All right, now fast forward. A year later, I finish our basement. Mm-hmm. I have this nice finished spot now. I bring this ping pong table out of the unfinished area. I go to fold it down and set it up. Well, they broke it.
Oh, no.
They bent this thing. The legs, the metal were bent. Well, I never really looked at it or noticed. And, you know, so am I going to call the moving company 14 months later and be like, you broke my ping pong table?
Right. And they'd say, prove it. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm like, wow. So, yeah, it was quite crazy, you know, what am I going to do now that this has happened to me? So the stress of all that, even more than a year later, I'm like, all right, great. Now what are we going to do? I literally have an area in my basement for a ping pong table, and I'm cutting my ping pong table up with a saw.
Oh, man.
Throwing it away in a trash can. So, you know, think about getting what you want and the advantages of actually getting exactly what you want through remodeling in your own home.
Right.
Instead of all of that and going through all of that. So, hey, again, everyone out there, guys, this is what I do. I come, I see, I look, I talk, I advise. We love it. We do it all day, every day. Check us out online, callmosby.com, or just give us a phone call, 314-909-1800, or what's the address to West Argonne?
So it's 115 West Argonne in Kirkwood.
You can walk right into that studio, have a conversation with us, see some photos, see what we're all about. You'll absolutely love it. Hey, we're out of time here. Had a great time. Hope it was helpful. Everybody, be good, and I'll talk to you next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Horace.
All right, guys, we are back. Final segment of the show here. So much information with this. I wish we could get it all out, you know, with room additions, with adding on to your home, with, you know, thinking about moving versus adding on to your home, all of that. So, Todd, how have you guys considered moving versus remodeling?
Not recently. And with the housing prices, that's another thing too. Housing prices are so expensive that I don't know if we would ever consider that in the near future, just because you sell your house and you have to go turn around and pay for something that's even more expensive than it was a few years ago. So I think right now we're going to stay put, but eventually, you know, we may look.
Yeah. So kind of, you know, recapping on where I was going with earlier on, you know, people, they go out shopping, they look, they say, all right, my house is $400,000. I need $200,000 to remodel it. I'm shopping for a $600,000 house. Well, what they commonly find, like I was saying, it's not where they want. It's not in the area they want when they get it to be the right size, all of this. But I tell you what, 9 out of 10 of them say to me too is it needs remodeled.
Yeah.
I don't like the kitchen, you know? So now I'm got more of what I need for the same amount of money, but it's not necessarily what I want, or I'm going to need to remodel it down the road anyway. So if I don't need the addition, then how much is just the kitchen, or how much, you know, and they get, so it ends up to be all this added expense on top of it. And, you know, talking about the cost of, you know, the houses now, people overpaying by $20,000 to $50,000.
Yeah, astronomical.
Over even what they appraise for. Mm-hmm. People foregoing the inspections. Nope, I don't need an inspection. I'm so desperate to buy a house and they're selling so fast. Let's just not even look at that. And you could get into, we could go a whole show about what you could get into, you know, not having that inspection. But, you know, so timing, again, like I was saying earlier, planning, thinking things through, timing, you know, our situation, my wife actually kind of said to me, we bought our house, it was a foreclosure. I did a lot of it myself. You know, and I fixed some things up and I did. And so we've got more house, less cost, all this. My wife said, you know, gosh, everything's selling for so much. Maybe we cash out.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, that'd be cool. Where are we going?
Right.
You know, we're going to need to rent two townhouses to house all of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so the house we sold for, you know, $182,000, we could probably buy that one back for like $330,000.
Right.
You know? So it's kind of like this, like you were saying, this double-edged sword of, yeah, I can get more, but now I got to spend more.
Exactly.
You know, so looking at what I'd like to get into is the list of what it truly costs to move. Overall, you know, and I've learned a lot of this and I love it because, not because I've moved 100 times, but because I've dealt with so many people moving, not moving, what should I do, you know, trying to assist them and help them through a process like this. So looking at the actual moving cost, what does it take? So you've got real estate commissions, all right? You've got, think about taxes and neighborhood fees. Like yeah. My last house, I didn't have a neighborhood fee. This house, I do. It cost me $500 a year, and I think they cut grass for that. Right. I'm not sure, but so think about repairs to the home you're selling. Unfortunately, if you don't get an inspection, you might have to consider repairs of the house you're buying that maybe yeah. you don't even know about at this particular time. Just getting a new mortgage, title insurance costs, loan fees, I mean, just, you know, refinancing anything, it costs money to do that, you know. So you may not see that money, but it costs money to do that. You'll see that more at retirement than you will, you know, at that particular moment. Think about home warranties or home staging while selling.
Yeah.
You might want to purchase a home warranty, especially if you foregoed that whole inspection. You might want to consider that. And then, of course, now we'll talk about today's landscape like we just were, overpaying because of inventory and the way things are in our current times. Absolutely right now, you know, there's a big thing there. So let's do some math on this just to get some people up to speed. So $12,000 to move a 3-bedroom house. If you're, you know, this is kind of where that sweat equity can come in. If you're going to carry your own stuff to your new house, perfect. You can save $12,000 or so. Say you have a $500,000 house, 6% commission on that house is $30,000. If like me, $500 a year, not a lot of money, but if you're going to live in your house 10 years, it's $5,000 mm-hmm. that you wouldn't have been paying in the other house. Existing home repairs, let's just say it costs you $3,000 to fix stuff in your house just so that you could sell it. New loan costs, easy $3,000, maybe more, I'm guessing here. And then now you got to buy a house in today's economy and today's time with the pandemic that, let's say you go to the max and you spend, you overpaid $50,000. And I am not fooling folks here. I have had people tell me that's what they overpaid.
Oh, yeah.
I've had clients say, it burns my insides that we had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They hate it. And it's like, but they did. So take out the warranty. You don't stage your house, sell it, anything like that. That's $103,000.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, if you move your own stuff, it's $91,000. You could do a lot with $91,000, you know.
There's a lot of projects. You still have to move your own stuff and you spend yeah. $90,000. That sounds like a great deal, considering yes. how horrible moving your own stuff is.
Yes. And that brings us into, I love that statement because, so how many times have you guys moved?
Just once.
Just once.
It makes you not want to ever do it again, to be honest with you. And that was before three kids. So I can only imagine what it would be like now.
Exactly. So I was, when I was moving, it was 7 years ago or so. And I was actually meeting with one of my clients, and we were just chatting before a meeting, and I was talking about moving and the move and what was happening and what we're getting prepared for. And he said to me, he said, you know, I'm a clinical psychologist. And I said, really? I didn't, you know, I knew you were something, like, you know, and didn't know exactly. And he said, you know, he said, did you realize that moving is the third most stressful event you will ever have in your life, and it trails the death of a spouse and divorce?
That's interesting.
And I was like, okay, now I know why I feel this way.
Yeah.
Now I know why I feel exhausted. Now I know why I feel like, what's happening? So the funny thing with that is that's kind of half my thing. Even when my wife says, hey, maybe it's a good time to just cash out. And I'm like, yeah, we got to move all our stuff. And I haven't forgotten about that yet. I'm going to need probably 5 more good years.
Well, you got to think it's decision making by the hundreds, every little on a micro level of just the individual things. And then also, you know, rooms and, that's just so many little decisions.
Oh, yeah.
That's just unbelievable. It's a mental stress for sure. And you always have more stuff than you think you do.
Oh, absolutely.
You find stuff everywhere.
I tell you, so here's a quick one on what happened to me. So I'm at the new house. I'm meeting the charter guy and all these people. And my wife's at the old house, and the movers are loading everything up and doing this. And my wife calls me, and she's like, they can't get the ping pong table out of our basement. Well, I just didn't even think about it. You know, you fold the sides up. Right. It's kind of skinny. Well, it's tall. You know, it couldn't get it to turn from the door and all this and that. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I'm like, fine. Okay. Let me get things settled here. She sends her dad over to me. Mm-hmm. I go back to our old house. We kind of swap. And I get there, and I'm looking at the ping pong table in the back of the truck, and I'm like, why am I here? Well, he just said, we got it out. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So then I kind of took a look around, said, okay, perfect. You know, so then I go back to the new house. They bring everything in our new house. They put the ping pong table in the basement. All right, now fast forward. A year later, I finish our basement. Mm-hmm. I have this nice finished spot now. I bring this ping pong table out of the unfinished area. I go to fold it down and set it up. Well, they broke it.
Oh, no.
They bent this thing. The legs, the metal were bent. Well, I never really looked at it or noticed. And, you know, so am I going to call the moving company 14 months later and be like, you broke my ping pong table?
Right. And they'd say, prove it. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm like, wow. So, yeah, it was quite crazy, you know, what am I going to do now that this has happened to me? So the stress of all that, even more than a year later, I'm like, all right, great. Now what are we going to do? I literally have an area in my basement for a ping pong table, and I'm cutting my ping pong table up with a saw.
Oh, man.
Throwing it away in a trash can. So, you know, think about getting what you want and the advantages of actually getting exactly what you want through remodeling in your own home.
Right.
Instead of all of that and going through all of that. So, hey, again, everyone out there, guys, this is what I do. I come, I see, I look, I talk, I advise. We love it. We do it all day, every day. Check us out online, callmosby.com, or just give us a phone call, 314-909-1800, or what's the address to West Argonne?
So it's 115 West Argonne in Kirkwood.
You can walk right into that studio, have a conversation with us, see some photos, see what we're all about. You'll absolutely love it. Hey, we're out of time here. Had a great time. Hope it was helpful. Everybody, be good, and I'll talk to you next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.